Well, you know, I was planning on speaking on this message last Sunday, and they took the little yellow cards. I hope you have a little yellow card in your bulletin, because that is what I would like to address today, what is often referred to as the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. Years ago, Jim Collins, a great business writer who still is speaking and writing, came up with and wrote about a very familiar subject called catalytic mechanisms. And in business, they discovered that there are some changes you can make that change the whole organizations. He used the illustration of a rock company, the Granite Company, Granite Rock Company. And what they did was they were getting complaints about the gravel they were delivering. And so they developed a system called short pay, where the customer could look at the gravel, and if for any reason they were not satisfied, they didn't have to call. They just would write on the invoice, unsatisfied with this delivery, and they would pay the whole bill except for that portion which they weren't satisfied. They called it short pay. They didn't have to call, didn't have to explain, just give a little note. And what it did was it made the guys that prepared the gravel be more honest and more thorough and careful in how they prepared and made the delivery so that the quality went up. He developed that concept of a catalytic mechanism, something that changes everything, with a little, what he called a red card in his classroom. He taught MBA students at Stanford University. And the little red card was to make you contribute in the classroom, because in the typical classroom, the same people put their hands up the first time for every question, right? And the other people that may are more thoughtful or have something to say, they sit in the weeds and they don't come forward. So he introduced the red card. And the red card is, this gives you the opportunity, every student gets one, and I want you at any time during the class session, during the course, to raise that at any time with any speaker, with any discussion, and say, here's a question or an issue or a difference or some path I would like to go down. And anyone can raise that flag at any time. But not only can you raise that flag, he said, you have to raise the flag, okay? So sometime you have to interact. And his goal was to get every student in the class participating in the project. And you know, a catalytic mechanism is something that takes the dreams, the goals, the aspirations that we have and turn them into reality in the course of our life or work. And you know, today I'd like for us to talk about what is one thing that I can do in the new year that will change everything. And I would like to talk to you about the attitude of gratitude. Because you know, saying thank you has in reality become a little bit of a lost art. When you give a gift to your grandchildren, we had 9 of our grandchildren home for Christmas. And we sign our gifts from Santa. So the kids, if they got it from Santa, they knew us from Grandma and Grandpa. Well, the parents would watch someone wrap it, and they'd be excited about what they got and say, now go over and tell Grandpa you like the gift. And they would come over and sit in my lap and give me a big old hug to express their appreciation. But you know, they had to be prompted. They had to be reminded that you've got to say thank you. And yet, we live in a world where that thank you has become a lost art that really could change everything. Steve and I were having breakfast one day this week in the Mesquite Grill. And one of the servers is a girl that we've known for many years and we have blessed as a church. And I hadn't seen her, and so I said, how was your Christmas? Oh, great. I said, did you spoil the kids? I said, oh, yeah, they loved it. She's a single mom. She works here, and I think she moonlights a little bit to rub two nickels together to make a living. And I said, well, what did the children give you for a present? What'd you get from Santa? And she said, well, nothing. They've gotten out of the habit of giving me a gift. And I felt so sorry for that little girl who's a single mom. And if you've ever been a single mom, you ladies, you know what we're talking about here. Busting your chops to try to make it happen for your family and for those you love. And then at probably one of the most generous seasons of the world, they forget to say thank you to you. You know, my friends, today we have celebrated the Lord's table. And in remembering him, that's probably one of the greatest ways to thank him. Because in reality, in eternity, we are going to be praising him forever and ever. We're going to be adoring who he is and what he has done. And he is going to use us as his servants in the kingdom of God forever and forever. And he has done all the work by dying on the cross. He has forgiven our sins. He has done something for us which we cannot do for ourselves. And all he asks is that we say thank you. And that we reach out and say, thank you for forgiving me a sinner. And you know, my friends, when we say thank you, it changed our lives. It forgave our souls. It gives us the promise of eternity. And I'm convinced when we say thank you to other people, it will make an eternal difference in their lives as well. There's a story that we have here in the Bible about Jesus in Luke chapter 17 that illustrates this fact. It's, remember the 10 lepers that were healed? Remember that? In Luke 17, verse 11, says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled through the border area between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Some of the translations use the word mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Because they were in a desperate situation. Leprosy was eating their hands, eating their faces, eating their feet. Many of them probably were crippled. They were outcast in the city and were declared unclean and could not be with normal people. And they realized that they had a desperate situation and only God could bail them out. And they cry upon Jesus. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, the priest didn't heal anybody. The priests were the official cleanliness inspectors for the nation of Israel. And to determine whether or not you were clean to enter into the synagogue or to function in the duties and the responsibilities and acts of worship of a good Jewish boy, you had to be approved by the priest. They were the inspectors. But Jesus and faith in Jesus was what healed them. And all 10 of these people received that wonderful grace. They obeyed what Jesus said. They went to the priest, and on the way, they all 10 of them realized, wow, I have my hands, my feet, my face. Look at me. I am a different person. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He was filled with so much gratitude, he had to shout with a loud voice his praises to God. And when he saw Jesus, he's used to not hugging anybody because nobody wanted to touch him. So he threw himself at the feet of the Savior in thanksgiving for what he had done for him. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give grace and thanksgiving to God except this foreigner? This Samaritan? You'd have thought the Jewish boys would have been more thankful. But no, it was the one who was the outcast. Jesus turned to him and said, rise and go. Oh, my friend, your faith has made you well. His faith in Jesus Christ changed his life. And he realized how changed it was that he couldn't help but thank the God of heaven and throw himself at his feet. You know, leprosy in the Bible is used as a symbol of sin. It is used often as a metaphor for those who have failed miserably and their bodies and their lives have been stained with sin. And people probably don't really understand the good news until they understand the bad news. They don't understand the solution until they understand their problem. And the problem is that we have failed and sinned against an almighty God, and Jesus died to forgive us of our sin. And when we trust him, the Spirit of God regenerates us, makes us into a new creation. We are born again. We are born of the Spirit. We are placed in the body of Christ. Our sins are forgiven, and we are given the promise of heaven and eternal life just by saying thank you. And this leper illustrates that wonderful grace that God has given to us. He also illustrates, I think, the pride of the nation of Israel and the religious establishment who thought that they did not need Jesus. The religious establishment would see Jesus coming, and their pride would say to them, you know, I'm okay. I don't need you. You know, I'm healthy. But Jesus used this leper to say, nope, you've got leprosy. You're rotting. And sin is destroying who you are both now and forevermore. You know, a religious leader would turn to them and say, you know, I'm okay. I'm deserving of God's forgiveness and God's healing. And if God healed me as a leper, I'll go on my way rejoicing because now I'm healed and somehow I think I deserve what I have. But the story reminds us that we don't deserve anything. The only thing we need is the mercy, the pity that God Almighty would give to us based upon our sinful condition. And then those who receive grace, whether it be special grace or common grace, do we ever say thank you? The religious establishment not even failed to acknowledge who Christ was, but they failed to thank him for what he did for them on the cross. And like these nine lepers, they went on their way ignoring all the grace that God had given to them. My friends, you know, just imagine what the spirit of unthankfulness does in our relationship with God. It destroys it. But if we say thank you, it opens up a whole new path for us. I've only had one person in my career ever throw himself down on the ground. I got a call one time from a suicide prevention organization and attached to the University of Alabama. And how they got my name, I have no idea. But they said, there's this man that's come to see us and he needs to see a minister. Would you see him today? I said, sure. So this guy came to see me, and as I was talking to him, he said, I need you to look me right in the eye because I'm deaf and I need to read your lips. And as I looked at him straight in the eye as best I could so that he could read my lips, he told me this terrible story, how his wife had left him for a woman, how she had taken his son, and now the son was with him, with them, and refused to come live with him anymore. And that very morning he went into his workplace, and they were told him that he was fired. In the midst of all that agony, he contemplated suicide. He called this hotline. They sent him to me, and I'm sitting here saying, this guy's life is full of bad news. I've got to give him the good news of Jesus Christ. And as I told him the fact that God sent his son to die on the cross and that all he had to do was believe and to thank him for that wonderful mercy, I looked and saw the guy was no longer sitting in the chair. He was down on the floor on his hands and his knees like a dog. And he was crying such tears, it was like creating a puddle, a stained puddle on the carpet there in my office. He was so thankful for the fact that there was a God in heaven that would treat him like that, that he had to throw himself down. I didn't know how to respond, so I got up out of my chair. I came down, and I, like a dog, I got on all fours beside him, and I prayed with him. I put my arm around him and tried to let him know the wonderful grace of God. My friends, if we know what God has done for us, we want to thank him. We want to give him our lives, because what he did for us has changed us. What he has done for us has opened up a new world for us. What he has done for us creates a new you and a new me. And all we have to do is say thank you. You know, if that is what God's grace has done for us, how can I flip that into a catalytic mechanism that changes who I am, that changes how I treat people, that becomes a mechanism in their lives to want them to know the God of heaven as well? How do I do that? Well, you know, as I look at that story, I realize that if unthankfulness is that disastrous, just think of what thankfulness can do for me. It can change me into a new person. Well, what does it do? It makes me, I think, more dependent. It makes me realize that I am dependent upon other people. And, you know, the leper threw himself at the feet of Jesus. The lepers as a group cried out, "Oh, Master Jesus, have mercy upon us," because they realized that there was absolutely nothing they could do for themselves, and they were at the mercy of Christ. They were dependent upon him, and they needed him. And in the same way, we are needing and dependent upon each other. I need you, and you need me. Last week, I needed a son-in-law to preach. Husbands, you need a wife to do a lot of the things that we don't know how to do in the home. I mean, you look at it, we need each other. We had 9 grandchildren. The youngest was baby Violet. Violet is 6 months old, but she has this overgrowth syndrome, so she's about the size of a 9-month-year-old. And she's growing everything out of everything very quickly. But yet I looked at her, she's a charming baby. She hardly cries. She doesn't create problems at all. I told my daughter, "You don't deserve her." You know what I mean? A great baby, but yet that little baby is totally dependent upon us to hold her, to feed her, to change her diaper, to make her want to smile and to Google in her eyes and say, "Vivi, Vivi, Vivi," and get her smiling. She is dependent upon us to help her become who she is. And you know, in the Christian life, we're not just dependent upon God, but we're dependent upon each other. And that when I thank you, when I express appreciation to you, I am really showing appreciation to God for putting you in my life, for impacting me. You know, that's why I love football. I love watching college football. But you know, one thing I don't like about college football is the way they dance, and after they make a touchdown, they say, "Here I am." Because when they say that, they're forgetting the guy who snapped the ball. They're forgetting the guy who threw the ball. They're forgetting the guys on the line who blocked for that pass to happen. They forget the guy who went the opposite direction to divert the coverage. They forgot the coach who spent hours looking at film to design that play so they could score a touchdown. And somehow they think it's all about them, when in reality, they are so dependent upon other people. And you know, my friends, when we thank people, when I turn to you and I say thank you for what you mean in my life, thank you for doing that for me, I am telling you, I need you. That my life could not exist really without you, and that you helped make that possible in my life. Just by saying thank you, I'm telling you I'm dependent upon you, just as I am dependent upon the grace of God. Years ago, when Susan and I were seminary students, our car broke down in the middle of an interstate in Kentucky. Back then, they didn't know what a Volkswagen was in Kentucky. And the mechanic said, we can't fix it, but we'll tow you in the morning to the garage in the big city, Cincinnati. Well, we didn't have enough money but to get a night at a motel, and we split a hot dog and two drinks. That's all the money we had. We were broke. We were done. Somehow, Susie called and got a hold of her sister, and her sister called her dad. And anyway, to make a long story short, Mel and I got a call from her dad, said, don't go anywhere. We're going to come and pick you up from Oklahoma, and we'll get you back to Dallas. Well, you know, the morning came, the tow truck driver came to pick us up, and I said, well, we don't need a tow this morning. My father-in-law is going to come and get us. Well, where are you going to stay? I said, I don't know. We're out of cash here. I think we'll just sit out here in front of the motel and wait till he gets here. This is January. This is New Year's Eve, and it was cold. And this guy, he said, you can't do that. He says, come to my house. And we dropped into his tow truck, and he drove Ron and Susie to his home, which was built up on concrete blocks. This guy drove a truck, and he had a bad shoulder because he tried to commit suicide by shooting himself, and he damaged the construction of his shoulder. His wife cleaned houses. She was a maid. And they left us all alone in their home all day. At lunch, one of their relatives showed up with a Dairy Queen hamburger and French fries for us. That night, we stayed up all night waiting for Susie's dad to come. He arrived about 1 o'clock. And when they did, they put Susie's parents in their bedroom. They put us in the guest room, which was like a three-quarter bed. And they slept on this split sofa. Each of them slept on about 4 feet or 5 feet of sofa. In the morning, I got a telegram with $100 in it from my dad. And I tried to give them the $100, and they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it. For years, we swapped Christmas cards together. And sadly, in one of our moves, we lost their address. A couple years ago, we went through Williamstown, Kentucky, trying to find them. We found one neighbor that thinks they know where they are, but they weren't sure. But I'd like to tell them one more time that I needed you, that you're critical to my life, that we're in this together, that I depend upon you, you need me, and I need you. You know, my friends, a little thank you just says I'm dependent upon you. A little thank you also is a way to honor them. You know, they cried out to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy, have pity upon us. And then the one leper came back and threw himself at the feet of Jesus to honor him. And I believe when I thank people, I am honoring them as a person. I am saying, this is the contribution that you make in my life, and this is my heart, what my heart thinks about you, just by giving you this compliment. Yesterday was George and Barbara Bush's 73rd wedding anniversary. Did you read that on the internet? 73 years. They got married, and when they're probably about, he's 93, so they had to get married when they were about 20, which is when I get married. On their 49th wedding anniversary, they were being interviewed on television, and he read a letter he wrote to his dear wife in front of his wife on national television. And the letter went like this: will you marry me? Oops, I forgot. You did that 49 years ago today. I was very happy on that day in 1945, but I am even happier today. You give me joy that few men know. I've climbed perhaps the highest mountain in the world, but even that cannot hold a candle to being Barbara's husband. As he read this, his voice started to crack, and a tear came to his eye. And he said, little did I know, I was only trying to keep up with Barbara Pierce, who lived on Onondaga Street in Rye, New York. I love you, Barbara. Now, Barbara, being Barbara, responded with a joke. When she saw the tears and John Boehner was the Speaker of the House, she said, "Oh, you could have been the Speaker of the House." But I bet on the inside, her heart was fluttering. I bet if you looked into her eyes, you could see them dancing to have your husband stand there in front of the whole world and say those things about you. My friends, when we honor our spouses, when we honor people who bless us, we are making a statement that I worship the God of heaven, but I'm also thankful for who you are and what you have done for me. You know, in that spirit, I've given you a little card, but this card is not free. It comes with an assignment. I believe that as we go to the new year, there's one year thing that we can do that's catalytic, that can make us different people this year and have different relationships and make a difference in the lives of other people. And that is simply saying thank you to God and thank you to people. And the reason, what I'm asking you to do in this card is to write out a prayer of thanksgiving to God for what he has done for you. Because I don't believe that we can truly be thankful to people unless we fully understand what God has done for us and we thank him first. And if we thank him and we understand his grace, his pity, his mercy, it gives us a whole fresh view of other people. And we can sincerely thank them for the contribution. So I would like for you to take this card home, and I want you to write out a prayer to God of thanksgiving for what he has meant for you. Stick it in your Bible and keep it as a reminder. And I am convinced that if you do that, then it'll make you want to thank other people for what they have done for you. Now, the strategy I'm suggesting is called 1-1-1. I want you to give one word of appreciation or thank you. One every day. Okay? No, one word of appreciation to one person, one every day. You got that? 1-1-1. One word of appreciation to one person every day. And I am convinced that if I do that, it will make a difference in their lives. You know, when somebody does something for you, don't just say thanks and turn away. Turn to them and say, "You know, I cannot believe that you opened up your home for us to have for our children. You will not believe the difference it made for their family to be able not just to be with us corporately, but then to be alone privately and to celebrate Christmas as a family. And your generosity made a real difference in our Christmas. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us." When I said goodbye to my dad for the last time, I thanked him. And I think I went overboard. He had had his last stroke. I was getting ready to go back to Canada. I knew I'd never see him again alive. And I knelt in front of him to look at him in his eyes, to thank him for being my dad, thank him for being a spiritual leader in my life, thanking him for all the sacrifices he made for me and for my children. I wanted him to know how thankful I was for what he had done. And when I left that facility for the last time, I couldn't leave. I drove around the building three times, around the block three times before I finally drove back to Toronto. And as I reflect upon those moments, I think, why was it like that? I think the reason it was like that is because somewhere deep inside, you know, you're not thankful enough. You don't say it enough. You don't let them know what's going on the inside. My friends, when Jesus humbled himself to the Heavenly Father, it brought salvation to us. If we humble ourselves to each other by simply saying, thank you. It will create a new you, and it will create a new them. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for the grace that we have celebrated today. Oh, Lord, I pray that what Christ did for us on the cross will be reflected in our lives every day, and that gratitude might be extended to other people. And Lord, I pray that you might enable us to look at people in our world, in our homes, in our neighborhoods here in Saddlebrook, and to reflect the thankfulness we have for God to them. And Father, may our appreciation be catalytic in their lives to draw them closer to you. Oh Lord, take the word of God today. Take the example of this poor leper who said thank you, and use it in our lives to shine in our communities the grace you have given to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.